Let's start this morning reading from Psalms chapter 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, today we come to you with thanksgiving and praise. Fill our hearts with your presence as we worship you today. Amen. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. Each song we sing today is going to be kind of focused on a different section of the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to start at the beginning, of course, with Our Father in Heaven. Can we all stand?
Of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail and heaven along, oh, praise him, alleluia. Thou rising moon in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a Spirit free in one. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Praise, praise the Father.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia.
Hallowed be your name.
were the Word at the beginning.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. They silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Your will be done. Blessed be your name. Thank you.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, or walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Please be seated. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to be here with you, worshiping and lifting high the name of Jesus together. If you are visiting with us, we just want to give you a warm welcome. If this is the first time you're with us, thank you so much for joining us as we worship Lord Jesus today. We are trucking on in our sermon series, going through the Gospel of Matthew. But before we do that, let's pray. Let's say a word of prayer to the Lord. Father God, blessed be your name. Lord, we are here not just to receive blessing, Lord, but to bless you, God, to honor you, to lift high the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we are gathered here in the name of Jesus, as a community of people saved by the grace of God and in Christ Jesus, Jesus who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, who rose on the third day so that we might have new life in you. Holy Spirit, who has been sent into our hearts to cries out, it's the spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Father, on our behalf. Lord, we're here because of you. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, as we worship together, that Jesus, you would be on the forefront of our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. that yours is the name that we want to shout out because you are so good. So we pray that as we are here gathered together, that you would be glorified above all things, Lord. And that as your word is preached, Lord, that I will not get in the way of it, but that Holy Spirit, you would just speak into our hearts your word, Lord, this morning, guiding us into your truth so that Christ may be glorified. So we thank you, Lord, so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a couple of announcements before we begin. There's a lot going on in our church community over the next couple months. First things first, August the 6th, if I can get Yido to just throw up the slide, we're going to have 3DM training. 3D Ministries is an organization started in the UK and is now in the States and North America. But they're going to be, we're bringing them over. They're going to be doing a seminar on Jesus' mission. And primarily this is for gospel community leaders or small group leaders or fellowship leaders. But if anyone's interested in just hearing about what Jesus' mission is and his strategy is, just come and check us out. We're going to be online Saturday, August the 6th, 10 to 2 p.m. That's a Saturday. And so if you're interested, come talk to me, come talk to Pastor David, and we'll get you set up with everything you guys need to know. So that's happening August 6th. Also, another thing that's happening, July the 24th, one of the missionaries that we are in partnership with and financially supporting as well, Brenda and Darren, they've been here a few times. Brenda actually was a former BAC member when she was in university coming here. Brenda and Darren, they're going to be sharing about their journey. They're back after a couple of years out in the field. They're in the Middle East. And so they'll be sharing their mission journey July the 24th. That's after church in a couple, is that next week already? Oh, it's next Sunday already. They're going to be sharing their journey after worship service at 2:30 in the NPR. And so just invite you to come out for that. Brenda was actually my neighbor back in Regina for when I was born, basically. And so Brenda and I go way back. But Brenda and Darren, they'll be sharing about their mission journey in the Middle East. And also, August the 7th, as you guys already know, we've been talking about this a lot. It's our 40th anniversary celebration for our church. Tickets are still available for the big dinner that we're having, and they're available until next Sunday. So you can get your tickets out in the foyer after service for the big dinner big dinner celebration. And also, just a word about the August 7th is there's going to be no morning services here. We're having a big joint service down at ECBC Southeast Marine Drive. It's a big enough sanctuary to have everyone there to celebrate what God has been doing in BAC over the last 41 years now, actually. So get your tickets out in the foyer for the big dinner that follows that service. So we're in Matthew chapter 6 this morning, and we're just carrying on through our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. As you already know, if you've been around us for a while, part of our church-wide vision is to build a culture of disciple-making, disciples of Jesus who are able to multiply and make more disciples. But what does being a disciple of Jesus look like? Is it just showing up to church every Sunday, maybe reading the Bible and praying throughout the week, going to Bible studies, going to fellowship groups, that sort of stuff? Is doing the stuff we're supposed to do, is that what following Jesus is about? Following the rules we're supposed to follow? Once in a while lifting our hands when we're singing worship songs? Or is there more than that? And if you've been with us for the past couple of months, since we've been talking about the Gospel of Matthew, you'll know that being a disciple of Jesus means, first of all, recognizing and acknowledging Jesus as the King of all creation, right? And what that means is he's also the king of our lives, too, on a personal level. So that means everything about our lives changes. It means what we do and who you are and how you relate to people changes. Because Jesus is your king now. the way of the king is the way we want to live. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God now. But we only know how to live as citizens of the kingdom by seeing how our king lives. And so this is why we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. And so we have a framework here at BAC English about what a disciple of Jesus is. We say that we want to be like Jesus, we want to be with Jesus, and we want to live like Jesus. And in the Gospel of Matthew, it tells us about how Jesus lived, what he did, what he was about, what mattered to him, what made him happy, what made him angry or sad. It's kind of like this blueprint for us. This is how we follow Christ, by looking at the life that he himself lived. This is who Christ was, so I want to live like that. I want to be like that. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about what Jesus taught about how to pray. And I know Pastor David kind of touched on this last week, but we're going to go in depth in this prayer that Jesus gave us, this blueprint for how to pray. It's the Lord's Prayer. Many of you guys are familiar with it. And we're gonna go from there. Before we do that, before we dive into the Lord's Prayer this morning, I want to take a minute to address a couple of lingering questions that some of you guys might have about a sermon I did a couple weeks back. We're talking about turning the other cheek, and we got a couple questions from you guys, basically asking, okay, what do we do? When Jesus, just a little background behind this, Jesus says in Sermon on the Mount, he says, do not resist an evildoer. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, you turn to him the left cheek. So what do you do when you're, how do you turn the other cheek when you're in an abusive relationship, for example? How do you turn the other cheek when you're in a toxic relationship? How are you supposed to turn the other cheek in those situations? And so I felt that it was appropriate to respond to those questions, not just individually, but for all of us here, just because I think many of us are maybe asking the same questions. So what do you do? One of the things we talked about a couple weeks ago was that taking vengeance is something that we have to submit to God, right? God tells us that God says in his word that vengeance is mine. Because justice, true justice, is ultimately in his hands, right? So if we take revenge on someone who's hurt us, who's abused us emotionally, physically, verbally, spiritually, or however, if revenge is on our minds, if we're taking revenge into our own hands, I think what Jesus is saying is that all that does is that keeps that cycle of violence going, right? We're just perpetuating the violence. So if we're going eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and that's all we have our mind set towards, all we're doing is keeping that circle of violence going, right? But Jesus is saying, I think what Jesus is saying is don't perpetuate the violence. Don't take revenge. Don't have vengeance on your mind, right? He's saying, don't do that. But I don't think that Jesus means for us also at the same time. He doesn't mean for us to be weak. Matter of fact, if we don't take revenge, if we allow Jesus, if we allow God to do, if we allow God to have vengeance in his hands, that's actually one of the strongest, that's the strongest position you could take. So remember when I said if you were here, if you get hit on the right cheek, the person who is hitting you is hitting you with the back of his hand if they're right-handed. So the person strikes you with his right hand like this. They're hitting you with the back of a hand. You're getting struck on the right cheek. In that culture, we're saying, this implies that the person who hit you is treating you like an inferior, right? As though if a master would hit a slave like that. If you were a child. If you are in the back then, if you were a woman, right? So that person striking you with the back of his hand on your right cheek is treating you as an inferior. So if I hit back, that's revenge, that's retaliation. That just keeps the circle of violence going. If I strike back out of anger, man, I got to give you back what you deserve. But if I offer my left cheek, they've got to hit you with your palm now. You see? See how that works? They've got to hit you with a palm branch. And so N.T. Wright says that offering the other cheek implies this. Hit me again if you like, but now as an equal, not an inferior. And so what you're doing is that you are, by turning the other cheek, you're not doing this from a position of weakness, but you're doing it from a position of strength. You hit me if you like, but you're doing it on my terms. And so I think that Jesus is doing something very subversive here. You're confronting abuse or violence with strength. You can hit me, but you cannot belittle me or take away my dignity. So when I think that Jesus says, turn the other cheek, I think he's saying, don't perpetuate the violence. Don't take revenge. Don't fight violence with more violence. Yet at the same time, not taking revenge on one hand does not mean that I cannot call out abuse or injustice when I see it, right? Or if I'm the victim of it. So there's a difference on between actively taking revenge on one hand and standing up for what's right on the other hand. And I think that's a very important distinction for us to make. So turning the other cheek means not fighting violence with more violence, but it also means that I don't just lie there and take the abuse. So bottom line is, if you are abused in any way, like, please, please seek help. It might be one of the strongest things that you can do. So, you know, if you are being abused or you're a victim or you see someone who is a victim of it, find a community, friends or family to support you. If you need to call the authorities, call the authorities. Jesus is saying don't fight violence with more violence, but at the same time, I also think that he does not mean for us to just simply take abuse without doing anything about it. So anyways, if you have any more questions, you can feel free to talk to me, myself, or Pastor David after the service or in the following weeks. But we're going to turn attention to Matthew 6 right now. And if you have your Bibles with you, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 14, I think Yido's going to get it put up on the screen. I'm going to read this passage to you. If you just stand with me for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to read from the Christian, the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. And this is the Lord's Prayer, prayer of Jesus, a prayer for the kingdom. Therefore, verse 9 says, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, or hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your offenses. It's the word of the Lord. You guys can have a seat. We've talked quite a bit about prayer in the past, over the past few years, but I still think this is one of the things. Prayer is one of those things that I think those of us in the Christian faith, man, we sometimes get confused about it. Like, how does prayer actually work, right? What does God actually do with our prayers? Like, oftentimes, whenever we go to God in prayer, more often than not, when we pray to God, it's a lot of times, if we're honest, it's to get things from God. Like, maybe we're searching for answers. Maybe we're seeking his will for some major decision we're trying to make in our lives. Maybe we're asking for healing. Maybe we just want him to make our lives a little bit less difficult, so that it goes smoother somehow, so that we can overcome obstacles in our life. And maybe we pray and we pray and we pray and we wait for answers, but so often, like, God seems to be silent. So we think maybe prayer actually, at this point, maybe we think prayer doesn't actually work like it's supposed to. Maybe we think that God doesn't actually care about what we pray about. So maybe we might end up giving up praying. We might even give up going to God completely. But what does Jesus teach about prayer? Because maybe maybe we've got prayer all wrong. Like, if you've been to church for a while, you've heard it all before, man. Prayer is just talking to God. Prayer is just communicating to God. Sometimes you go to church and we grow up in church, we learn all these acronyms and these systems and these ways of praying. Like, you know, the acronym ACTS, for example, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Like, those are the things you gotta include in your prayers for it to be a good prayer. And these are good ways to think about how to pray. But a lot of times, our prayers end up just being us asking for stuff to come true. Things we want, things we desire, things we're longing for. Good jobs, good grades, good health, good relationships, good housing. Things we ought to be praying for, absolutely. But maybe those are the things that we mostly focus on when we pray. But what does Jesus say about prayer? How does Jesus teach us to pray? Well, it's right here, the Lord's Prayer. And we've been talking about how the Gospel of Matthew has been all about the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is now here, and Christ Jesus is our King. And the prayer, this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is actually a kingdom prayer. It's a prayer for the kingdom of God to come, for heaven and earth to collide. It's a prayer longing not for our wishes to come true, but for the promises of God to come true. So in the Lord's Prayer, we're not trying to hang on. You'll find that we're not trying to hang on to power and control in the Lord's Prayer. We're not trying to get God to do what we want him to do. We're trying to relinquish power and control to God and to his kingdom. So ultimately, in the Lord Jesus' prayer, what he teaches us is that in prayer, we're not asking for God to participate in, like, our work. We're submitting ourselves to participate in his work. So that's the difference. So how does this prayer do that? Well, it's set up right from the beginning. Well, it's first thing it says, you should pray like this. Man, Jesus is laying out for us. Man, this is how you ought to pray. This is how you ought to pray. And this sermon, man, this message, as I'm preparing this, this is a message as much for me as it is for you, because this is what I struggle with all the time. Now, I struggle with the fact that, like, I'm constantly just thinking about my own needs and thinking about, like, man, how is my life going to go smoother? But instead, what Jesus is calling us to is to relinquish all these things towards God, because his will is good and it's perfect and it's pleasing. And most of the time, my desires are not. And so this message is just as much for me as it is for all of you. But it's set up right here. Jesus starts off this prayer. This is how you should pray. And he starts off like this: Our Father in heaven. If you're a parent, you've probably experienced this before, but if you ever go through an entire day and it seems like the only interaction that you have with your kids, or that the only interactions that your kids ever initiate with you is like to ask you for stuff, right? Morning to night, man, like, kids are asking for snacks. I'm in this stage right now where my kids are constantly asking, like, literally 5 minutes after they eat dinner, they say, like, oh yeah, they finished their bowl of whatever the stuff they have, their dinner, like, and they're like, oh, see, I'm full. Literally 5 minutes later, they're asking for snacks. And they can have one bite of dinner and say they're full, but they can have, like, this unlimited reservoir for snacks. Like, if I ever fell off a cliff, I feel like maybe you're in the same boat. I feel like my kids would, like, poke my crumpled body on the ground and ask me for a snack, right? This is how much they love snacks. And it's like, don't you ever want to, like, cuddle me or something? Like, or ask me for, like, you know, fatherly advice or something? You know, do you ever want to, like, hang out, have a conversation? It's like, you know, anything, but you just ask me for snacks. And thank God that even though he's the all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign authority above everything, he's also a father. He calls us to call him Father, who is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and rich in love. Because I'm a flawed man. I'm a flawed father. And I couldn't have that kind of patience. But our Father does. And I know he's a Father who would rather us come to him with all kinds of prayers and requests and requests for snacks. But like any father, like sometimes it's nice when your kids want to come to you, not just to ask for stuff, but to just to hang out. To ask for, like, what do you want? Here's the other thing I want to point out to be about this opening address, our Father in heaven. He says, our Father. He didn't say my Father. He says, our Father. Because what I think he's saying is that prayer isn't just meant for to be like this individualist venture, right? It joins people into a group that's in submission to God together. So right off the bat, man, we learned this kind of prayer is a kind of prayer that's to be done in community with other people. Not saying that the only time we pray or the only time we pray this particular prayer is in groups, but I'm saying that we are also praying this prayer, the same prayer with other believers worldwide throughout history who are also fellow citizens in the kingdom of God, who are submitting also themselves collectively to our Father in heaven. Karl Barth, I've used this quote before, but Karl Barth, German theologian, says that prayer is an uprising against the disorder of this world. And every time we pray our Father, we are joining together in that uprising. You see, the world is in chaos. Every time we say our Father, it's an uprising against that chaos. Our Father shows us that prayer is far beyond something that's just a personal or private thing, right? So even when Jesus says, go into your room, like in a couple of verses earlier, even though Jesus says, go into your room, pray in secret, the content of that prayer isn't just for our personal benefit. It isn't just the things that I long for and desire. It's about our recognition that we together are children of the Father, in need of the Father to sustain our lives. Jesus then instructs us to say, like, hallowed be your name, or your name be honored as holy, as the CSB says. When we pray that, we're saying, man, God is sovereign. He's the authority over all things. He is set apart. We're saying, we're going to submit ourselves to you. And you're giving God the space to rule over our hearts and our world. The next couple lines is really I want to spend a good chunk of our time on. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, verse 10. And these words, I think, are really central to Jesus' teaching on prayer here. Because when we pray these words, we are essentially pledging to cooperate with God in his purposes and his plans for the world. We're being guided not just by our own wants and needs at this point, but by his power and his authority and his majesty and his grace. Not saying that we should not be praying for all the things we want, right? Because clearly in Jesus' prayer, we're praying for things that we desire. What I'm saying is everything else, all our concerns for provisions and safety and forgiveness or whatever we might ask of him, all of it flow from this place of, man, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We become part of something grander, something big, something massive, something bigger than what's just in front of me right now. All the concerns of life that are just in front of me right now, whenever we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, all of that is bigger than what's just in front of me. We start to see ourselves as part of God's mission and part of what God is doing in the world, in the cosmos. And if we intentionally are praying this prayer, we'll be able to pray for our needs, the needs of those around us in a way we've never before. from a perspective and viewpoint that we've never thought about before. This is what this prayer is all about. Bowing ourselves before the King. Longing for his kingdom to come and collide with the earth. Missionary Vincent Donovan writes that when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we not only open our lives to God's inbreaking presence, creating anew, we ourselves are willing to be involved as the participant in his presence. Indeed, as part of the something new God is bringing into the world. In other words, this prayer makes it possible for us to see with even more clarity what, like, Jesus' inbreaking presence into this world. We're asking King Jesus to break through in a way where heaven comes down to earth. We're asking for Jesus to come near and be present in this world in front of us for us to be able to see him clearly and his kingdom clearly. And at the same time, we're saying that we want to be part of his work here. We want to be part of what this kingdom work is doing in this world. David Fitch, a scholar in the States, well, he's actually from Hamilton, so he's a Hamilton Tiger Cats fan. I don't know why, but that's supposed to be funny. I don't know. No one gave me anything there. I'm sorry. That's okay. David Fitch, in his book, Faithful Presence, I should know this by now. There's like no CFL fans here, other than like Simon here, who's Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but like, right? But he wrote a book called Faithful Presence, and he speaks into this whole situation. This is a bit of a longer quote, but I think it really captures. And I'm sorry, I should have got a slide to put it up on the screen, but I think it really captures implications of this prayer. He says, "We practice the Lord's Prayer in all situations of life. When we encounter a domestic violence issue in the neighborhood, race and hatred at the town hall, or a sick family struggling with multiple ailments, we gather around this space, join hands, and pray. And we, in essence, submit this social space to Christ's presence. By joining together in these spaces and praying, 'Your kingdom come,' we are opening space for his presence to become visible. Where his presence becomes manifest and visible, violence is resisted and sickness is covered by his lordship. We now become free and present to join in God's work to reconcile this situation to himself. The Spirit is invoked. People are healed. The dying are emboldened. Violence is dissipated. Evil is defeated. Far from only personal and contemplative, praying, 'Your kingdom come, your will be done,' opens up social space to participate in what God is doing." So this prayer is giving up control and putting us in a place where we can participate and cooperate with what God is doing in this world right now. In Mark chapter 9, there's a situation that comes in when Jesus walks up to his disciples who had this big crowd gathered around them. And someone in the crowd tells Jesus, "Man, I brought my son to you because he has this spirit in him, the spirit that's possessed him and it's robbed him of his speech, and so he can't speak, he's mute." And the dude gets thrown down, he foams at the mouth, he grinds his teeth. And I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't cast out this spirit. Jesus is like, "Bring him to me. I got this." And so Jesus heals the boy, and the disciples are like, "Man, why?" Disciples ask Jesus, "I mean, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we cast him out like you just did? It looks so easy for you." And this is what Jesus says. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Disciples were asking, "Man, why couldn't we cast it out?" They were looking for a technique. They were looking for a how-to guide, these steps on what to do, something we could just plug and play and get the right results that we wanted. And sometimes we're like that, man. We like, how do I pray in order to get God to do what I want him to do? How do I get God to get the results? How do I do this and get the results I wanted? We see some sign of deficiency in the ministry that we're involved in. We sense that something is wrong with it. And the first thing we do is we talk about it with other people. This is what's wrong with worship. This is what's wrong with youth. This is what's wrong with the pastors and the elders. And then we'll look for ways to systems, processes, techniques that we think will fix these problems. We look for these techniques and programs and methods that will increase our productivity, our fruitfulness, when really what Jesus is demanding on us is to get down on our knees. I know this because this is how I often operate. Just look for the right methods. Just look for the right systems. Just look for the right programs, and then we can got this. But all Jesus is asking us to do is pray. The moment we think we can do anything in the kingdom of God on our own terms, with our own efforts, with our own strength, under our own control, we're done for. Jesus is calling them to this posture of prayer in which they submit the situations to God's reign and his kingdom and his authority first. Submitting ourselves to God in the way of this prayer, then opens up space for his power and authority to break in. And that's where the real power lies. We see issues within our own church. We walk through maybe our neighborhoods and see all the problems of our neighborhoods, the hallways of our schools. We see the struggles, the brokenness of our governments. We see physical and mental suffering, emotional suffering. We face racial conflict in the parking lots, in our shopping malls, in our sky trains. We see war and injustice in the world. We see pain and sickness and brokenness within our church community. Man, we should gather first with someone and pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But at the end of the day, when it comes to prayer in general, there's no real technique, no step-by-step guide. It's just you wanting to be with God. Wanting to give a piece of yourself to God each time you go to him on your hands and knees. Going to the Father with whatever you got. Saying, I'm here. I want your kingdom. Your will be done. That your kingdom would come. And if you've never really prayed before or you're just getting back into praying, I'm pretty sure he's just happy that you're praying at all. Whatever it looks like and sounds like. And the way Jesus is asking us to pray, like it's not like this grocery list of like things we want God to do for us to make our lives better. It's not a technique. It's not a system. It's not a method. It's about the heart of it. It's about our posture when we come before our Father in heaven. It's not, man, you just need to give control to the Father. We start off every prayer submitting our lives and desires to the kingdom. And then what happens is our petitions and our prayer life flow from that. We submit to Jesus the King, reordering our lives and our priorities and aligning them with the priorities of his kingdom. And then we pray for things like, and our needs like forgiveness, for our daily bread, for protection from the evil one, from temptation, all these things. And our prayers then become more aligned with the heart of the Father. But we're going to actually end off this morning just by praying through this prayer. We did this when we preached about this a few years back. But I think it's just so valuable for us to just pray through this together again. Before we do that, just a couple of practical application bits you can take away from this. Back in the early church, there's this document called the Didache, just sort of like this a manual for Christian ethics and practices. Like, so in the epistles, in the Bible, if the epistles in the Bible were first generation writings, right? Like the original writings, like the Didache is like a second gen writing. It just came right after these the epistles. So it goes way back, right? Early church writings. It's like a manual for church worship and stuff. So anyways, the Didache is commanded that Christians recite and pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day, right? I'm not going to command anything that we do 3 times a day, but man, really, really cool way to use the Lord's Prayer and pray your kingdom come, your will be done regularly throughout the day. That might be a cool way to just to keep this prayer in your heart as part of your daily rhythm. Something you can do is you can maybe set a reminder on your phone like 3 times a day. You can pick the times when you want to do it. When the alarm goes off, you just say the prayer. If you're struggling with praying your own prayer with your own words, there's nothing wrong with taking the Lord's Prayer and using it as your own prayer. Matter of fact, this is what he says. Like Jesus says in Luke 11 when he talks about the Lord's Prayer, his disciples are asking him, "Man, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray." And he's like, "When you pray, you say this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Keeps going from there. So if you're having trouble like figuring out what to pray, no harm in just breaking this out in Matthew 6, just praying this and using this as your prayer. Part of my daily rhythm, and some of you might know this already, that I try to do is as much as possible to start the day off as soon as I wake up before I do anything else. Sometimes it gets messed up when you have young kids. But like, before I do anything else on a good day, is to pray the Lord's Prayer, just to recite it in my mind as my head's still on the pillow, I'm still lying down, blankets covered. Pray the Lord's Prayer as I'm gaining consciousness, and it starts my day off on a foundation of just submitting myself to the purposes and plans of our Heavenly Father. I'm not perfect at it, like I said, but I try to do this as much as possible. So what we're going to do now is we're going to practice together praying through this prayer. And like I said, if this part looks familiar, we did this last time we preached on the Lord's Prayer, but I want to do this because this prayer cannot be prayed enough. So we're going to take a few minutes here. So get comfortable, assume a posture of prayer. If you need to get on your knees, you can go on your knees. Not sure how comfortable this floor is for that, but this is how you want to pray, you can do that. Maybe your focus in praying, if you're jotting things down in a journal or writing things down, then you can do that. You can close your eyes, you can keep them open. However you whatever it is, is cool. Just take assume a posture prayer, get comfortable, and we're gonna pray through this prayer line by line. And then after that, I'm just going to get Simon to come up after that and just pray. But if you're able to play some pads or something, that'd be cool too. But if not, that's okay. So let's pray this prayer of Jesus, this prayer of the kingdom. Our Father in heaven, think about the idea of God as the Father. What are the ways in which he's a perfect father to you? Maybe for some of you, you struggle with this concept because your experience of your earthly father, man, isn't all that great. So your prayer might be, man, God, I'm struggling with the idea of you as a father, but can you show me what that's like? Can you show me what a real father and a perfect father is like? Because our Father in heaven is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and rich in love. So just think and pray through that. Our Father in heaven. hallowed be your name. Maybe you can start by thinking of the things that you're grateful for, things that God has given you or maybe taken away from you that are actually blessings. Hallowed be your name. Great is your name. Holy is your name. Think about how great he is. His infinite love that covers a multitude of sin. His grace that's poured out upon us like a gift. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe we could spend some time submitting your will to God, to our King's good and pleasing and perfect will. Pray for you and your family, your neighborhood, your city. Be specific about certain situations in your heart. Ask to have your eyes open to Jesus' presence in every aspect of your life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And I want to relinquish my control over to you. I don't want you to cooperate in my plans. I want to cooperate in your plans. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is where we get to pray for our needs and our wants. It doesn't mean we get what we want, but we are submitting it to God. And it's not a bad thing to ask for what we want, but our posture is that we submit our wills to His. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. I want to spend a few moments just asking God to forgive us. But at the same time, we're asking God to reveal the situations, the relationships that we might have in which we're finding it difficult to forgive someone who's hurt us or wronged us. Forgiveness is not easy. It never is. But what we're doing is we're laying down this person or persons to the Father. I'm angry, I'm bitter, so I'm trusting you with this person, Father. One of the things about kingdom relationships is that they're reconciled relationships. So who is it that you need to lay down? What is it that you need forgiveness for? Who do you need to forgive? and lead us in not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom of Christ brings freedom for our souls, but each of us, man, each of us has a place in our lives that's an easy target for Satan to poke at and get us to fall. So where are the places in your life that you're wrestling with? Places where it's easy for you to be broken down. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Keith. Let's continue our time in worship and worshiping with the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts. Purify my heart.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Pure.
Let's stand.
Refine.
Not into temptation.
Of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace.
For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. The moon and stars, they wept. Morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon Him. Breath He gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. Perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Now forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
Now forever.
We're going to close our time with this prayer. Would you bow with me? And I pray that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. So glad that you could join us this morning. Have an awesome week. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll see you guys next time.